What's up, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Believe in Falcons. I'm your host, Will McFadden. I will be joined by Mike Rothstein for today's show. He will be breaking down the Kirk Cousins introductory press conference, kind of what took place behind the scenes with the contract negotiation, maybe what could have swung it for Kirk Cousins, why he said a long-term commitment to this organization mattered to him. So that is what we have on tap for you guys today. Before we get into it, I would just ask that if you like this show, please consider subscribing, leaving a review, check out our YouTube channel. This will not be going up as a video, but a lot of our podcasts do go up on or up as videos. So if you want to see these interviews, have it on in the background. I know a lot of people do that. Feel free to subscribe to our channel, Believe in Falcons, same name over there. Before we get into my conversation with Mike at the top, I just want to say that, you know, it's really interesting in hindsight. I often do a lot of reflecting back on what I expected to happen and then what actually ended up happening. And I guess the hangup for me when considering what the Falcons could ultimately end up doing at quarterback this offseason was Arthur Blank's comments about how much a team invested in one single position, particularly the quarterback position, because that's obviously the position that commands the most money. But how many Super Bowl teams were investing, Super Bowl winning teams were investing high amounts of their cap space in the quarterback position? And that just bumped against what the Falcons had done since Matt Ryan, which was in line with Blank's philosophy on that, which he, you know, said out loud at the end of the end of year press conference, and then giving Kirk Cousins anything close to what they actually ended up giving him, right? $45 million guaranteed in each of the first 2 years, which if Kirk Cousins plays the way that he did during the start of last season before he got hurt, that money will be worth it, because I do think he will ultimately get the Falcons where they want to go and where they haven't been in a while, which is atop the NFC South, probably a high seed in the playoffs. And then when you get in the postseason, anything can happen. And the team, if the Falcons, if they're healthy, have a pretty decent team on paper if you just need to make a run. Now, certainly going up against like the Bills or anything like that, that's going to be in a little bit of a different class. But to make a run through the NFC, yeah, I think it's doable. There's one more thing I want to mention before we get to my conversation with Mike. We're going to talk a lot about Kirk Cousins, just what he said, get into more of that, and also, you know, what's next for Atlanta. But first, let's pause for a really quick ad break.
BetOnline continues to be the number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or mobile devices. So head to BetOnline today to become part of the team, and remember to use our promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here. We've got a great new sponsor that I am excited to tell y'all about. I love betting my friends and betting them on anything, whether that's sports games or, yeah, I remember one time we were down at the Varsity here in Atlanta. A couple of buddies, one bet another that, you know, they wouldn't ingest the seasoning salts that go on the French fries down there at the Varsity through, we'll just say, the nasal passage. And it was enjoyed by all except for the person that actually had to do the bet. So if you're like me and you like betting on anything and everything, then let me tell you about Cut. The Cut app is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's legal in over 40 states. Cut has customizable odds, tracking capabilities, and an entire social network with group chats, user profiles, and rewards. I feel like that is really what sets it apart. And with all your payments, there is no need for Venmo. So whether you want to bet your friends on the next game or who can down the most hot wings, head over to Cut and be sure to use our promo code BELIEVE Falcons, that's B-L-E-A-V, Falcons, for a 10% welcome deposit bonus. Don't forget that promo code one more time. It is Believe Falcons, B-L-E-A-V, Falcons, to get that deposit bonus. Cut. Put your money where your mouth is.
All right, Mike is coming up in just 1 second, guys, I promise. However, we've got a little bit of breaking news as I am recording this, and actually you'll hear a little bit of breaking news from Mike and I as we have our conversation. It'll be known, you know, by now to you all, but basically the report that the NFL is going to be looking into potential tampering by the Falcons regarding Kirk Cousins and just his acquisition. So again, Mike is going to get into that a little bit, but we've got some more breaking news from Zach Klein, and now Adam Schefter's tweeting about it, just that the Falcons are nearing a trade sending Desmond Ridder away. So again, no real details. Adam Schefter saying that nothing is really close to being finalized on that front, but that they are talking to other teams again about a deal centering around Desmond Ridder, who would be entering his third season. So a lot of people asked me in kind of the whole period where the Falcons had every single potential situation regarding quarterback surrounding them, what would happen with Desmond Ridder. And I always expected and believed that it made a lot of sense for the team to keep Desmond Ridder, right? He's still on his rookie contract, third round pick. That number doesn't really get that high. And he does have, you know, basically a year of starting experience under his belt. If you still believe in what he can do, and it's not like he played just the worst football you've ever seen, it's more just that the mistakes he made and when he made them were absolutely critical. Like, it was times two multipliers in terms of just how bad it was and how much it hurt you. But that could totally change year over year. I don't know if that's going to consistently always be the case. So you could see a world where they bring in Kirk Cousins and they say, all right, Desmond Ridder, just like sit back, take a beat, learn for a minute. Let's see what you can do. Maybe if you need to spot start for 2 games, 3 games at the most. But now it seems like they maybe, I don't know. Again, I'm curious to see if they will bring in and draft a young quarterback, because I just don't know how many reps you have to go around to develop a guy quickly. Now, again, if they want to do a long-term plan, maybe that makes sense. And then maybe you do see them go after, Michael Pratt or somebody like that. But I just think that, you know, with Kirk Cousins here, like, he needs all the reps. He needs every single bit of time with Drake London and with Kyle Pitts, especially because he is injured and is going to be a little bit delayed coming back. But it's clear the Falcons needed to get a steady hand on the wheel for this offense. That's what they needed. And in hindsight, it should have been pretty obvious. They wanted somebody who's going to get the ball out on time, who is accurate, who can handle pressure, who can do a lot of things at the line of scrimmage. That's Kirk Cousins. So yes, he was expensive, but he was the best possible answer in the short term for the problem that the Falcons had at hand. And if they believe that they have a roster, which Rich McKay said at the end of season press conference, that they feel is able to compete and it's in a good spot, and you do feel like you are missing a quarterback, then Kirk Cousins is the clearest logical answer for immediately kind of addressing that need in the surest possible way. And I'll wrap it up by leaving you with a segment from Family Guy, which I'll bet is not what you expected, but it's a joke that I really like for this situation. It's a little bit old at this point, but basically, you know, Peter is on a game show and talking about the knowing what is behind kind of door number one in terms of a prize. And then there's a mystery box. So in this case, it's a boat, or there's a mystery box. And he's really, really allured by the mystery box. And he says to Lois, his wife, you know, yeah, the boat's a boat, but the mystery box could be anything. It could even be a boat. And that is just kind of how I think about a lot of what has happened with the Falcons in the quarterback position. Is the Falcons just, they just needed a boat. And yeah, we could sit there and talk about, but what if Justin Fields develops? Like, think about what he could become. If they hit on one of these quarterbacks, which we all say with the caveat that quarterbacks are a crapshoot in the NFL draft, even first round ones, even top five picks. But what if they hit on one? Think about what it could become. If any of these quarterbacks go on to become what Kirk Cousins has been, if they have the career that Kirk Cousins has had, they will be immensely successful and will have bucked the trend. Just go get Kirk Cousins. And I think that that's ultimately what this was. And in hindsight, I think we should have seen that all along. I am back real quick because we just had a little bit more breaking news happen just as I was editing this podcast to put it out for you all lovely listeners. Jonathan Jones reports that the Falcons are sending Desmond Ridder to the Arizona Cardinals. And then Ian Rapoport reported that the coming back in the trade will be Rondale Moore, the fourth year receiver for the Cardinals. And it's an interesting player for player trade. I really like it for the Falcons. If for no other reason, then you're adding another viable receiving option to a room where you need to add numbers. It's something Mike and I are going to talk about here in just a second, but you saw them sign Kadarrell Hodge today. They obviously are bringing in Darnell Mooney. They've got Drake London, but now bringing in Rondale Moore, and you're starting to add numbers who can make an impact. And it's kind of like what they did with the defensive line last year. None of these are real star names outside of hopefully Drake London, but all of them can do a little bit in their own right. And you look at Rondale Moore, and I think for those who haven't watched him very, very closely, may, you know the name a little bit because he was a second round pick out of Purdue, and there was a lot of promise. He was kind of a fun receiver prospect coming out, and he really hasn't done a ton since being in the league. He started 8 games each of the last 2 seasons. In 2022, he only played 8 games, missed the rest of the season due to injury, but last year, 8 starts was available for the entire season, so that's good to see. He had 40 catches, 352 yards, a touchdown, but really hasn't done a ton since he has been in the league. His best year was actually his rookie year. I mean, he just has 1 touchdown in each of the in each of his seasons, but he did have a rushing touchdown last year, so that was his first year with 2 touchdowns. So he is trending in the right direction. But again, that is what you're going to get back for Desmond Ridder. So you are getting somebody who should see the field, and you're hoping that maybe the scheme change is going to unlock the potential that you saw in him when he was coming out of Purdue in the draft. Because again, if Desmond Ridder is just going to be sitting there on the bench, let's go get some immediate help, some immediate ammunition for Kirk Cousins. And Rondale Moore is certainly that. So again, a lot of breaking news on today's podcast, but now let's go ahead and get into my conversation with Mike Rothstein.
It's my pleasure to be joined again by Mike Rothstein of ESPN. He is here, of course, to break down the biggest news surrounding the Atlanta Falcons, which is the signing of Kirk Cousins. Mike, how you doing, man? Thank you for joining me.
You know, man, I thought we were going to talk. I'm only here to talk about Charlie Warner. So, you know, that's the only player they've signed. It's the only player that. Yeah, no. Listen, the Kirk Cousins deal obviously is massive. It gives them that franchise quarterback that they've been looking for since Matt Ryan left after the 2020, or was traded rather, after the 2021 season following the failed pursuit of Deshaun Watson, which we've covered, you and I have covered ad nauseum over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But even really before that, listen, Matt Ryan was a franchise quarterback when he left, but also he was a franchise quarterback that was clearly on the downside of his career. Kirk Cousins was playing maybe his best football in a long time before he ruptured his right Achilles in the middle of the season. Right before, coincidentally, if you remember, the Falcons played the Vikings, and then it was the Jaren Hall, Josh Dobbs experience. If we really want to like butterfly effect this out, right? Like that game was really the beginning of kind of the I don't want to say the beginning of the end for Arthur Smith, but it was the beginning of kind of the fall apart and the close loss problem they had in the second half of the season that led to them making a change with the head coach. And honestly, in some ways, if you remember, that was the beginning of the very obvious they're going to need a quarterback in 2024 as well.
Yep. I mean, it that game definitely was a signifier of just how important that position is, and also how the Falcons had missed, because that was an opportunity where the Falcons really were the better team in a lot of areas, and it just kind of came down to the dude behind center and who made plays and who didn't. And yeah, now the Falcons are hoping that Kirk Cousins can come in here, but you know, I get the sense that he's going to be hopefully in the fashion of the top tier of the guys that we've seen have success in this kind of McVay Shanahan offense. Matthew Stafford, Matt Ryan, his year, Kirk Cousins through most of his career, right? And then you've got, like, those are the guys that can do everything asked of them, then also bring a lot pre-snap and also have a little bit of that extra on top. They can deliver on the deep ball maybe a little bit more consistently than others. They can improvise in the pocket a little bit more. But, you know, I know 36 is not 39. You see oftentimes these quarterbacks playing their best ball in kind of their mid-30s, the ones who are more pocket passers, because that's when the game truly slows down. Everything is at their fingertips. I just worry that, again, the Achilles coupled with 36 years old. Is this more Philip Rivers going to Indianapolis, or are you confident that, you know, there can be those 2 years at least that Atlanta has all of the guaranteed money that Kirk can be in a good spot and get a little bit closer to, if not all the way back to what we saw?
It shouldn't be Philip Rivers going to Indianapolis, because remember that Philip Rivers was also 40 at that point.
True.
And it signed a 1 year deal, and there had been issues. You know, remember toward the end with the Chargers, there had been some, you know, there had been some drop off there also, where there hasn't been drop off with Kirk Cousins. If anything, True. The Matthew Stafford analogy is probably a little bit closer. I would say Matthew has been playing as good. He was on a heater toward the end of last season, but mm-hmm. He was playing as good as he did really at some of his high points in Detroit for most of the time in Los Angeles. He just had a better team and in a lot of cases, better coaching around him. What you're going to see with Kirk Cousins, we don't know. Now, I had asked him, and D-Led had asked him about the Achilles, and he said he's feeling good right now. But he can do all the quarterback type stuff, throwing, dropping back. It's just if he had to play in a game today and had to move out of the pocket, it would not go well. And he has said his goal is by the end of mandatory minicamp in June to be fully ready. So that's what, 4 months, 3.5 months? They talk 3 months maybe, March, April, maybe. I have to count on my hands because that's what I'm doing today. It's free agency, man. 3 months. So it's 3 months for him to do that. And that's great that that's his timeline, but you have to imagine the Falcons are going to be cautious with this as well and say, hey, you know what? You don't got to come back till training camp in doing anything necessarily. So that's an extra 5 weeks, 6 weeks that they can do that. And that, to me, that's fine. Now, sure, Kirk Cousins is going to want to start developing a rapport with Kyle Pitts, developing a rapport with Drake London, but you can do that right in other scenarios that don't require you to necessarily be involved in 7-on-7 or 11-on-11 work with everybody else, because it is an offense that, even though there will be some differences from what he ran in Minnesota, it is an offense that's not a completely foreign concept to him, which I think will help as well.
Yeah, so that was going to be my next question, was, is this going to, or do you get the sense that he is going to be able to do any of the types of things that we typically will see from veteran quarterbacks who go to new teams, which is, hey, I'm going to get, you know, my seven receivers and running backs, and we're going to go down to Miami, or we're going to go over to California, and we're going to just train for a week together. It's a passing camp. I'm paying for it. Is he going to be able to do those types of smaller group activities to get acclimated? Because like you said, the offense, he should be able to get a grasp of kind of the X's and O's very quickly. It is, you know, should be similar. So it's more personnel. And what do you like to do in getting a feel for how Drake London runs his routes, where Kyle Pitts is going to be at a certain time compared to TJ Hockenson and where he was, certain things like that. Do you get the sense he's going to be able to participate in some of these smaller settings, or is he going to be isolated until the team really comes together?
I don't know. I mean, I imagine he would want to get involved in some form or fashion where he's able to, and go from there, right? Like, that's, to me, where he's going to be involved, right? Yes or no. And then how much from there? And we just see. We don't have a baseline like we did with Arthur Smith for how he wants to handle injuries. We know Arthur Smith was very conservative in injury handling and whatnot. We don't know what that's going to look like with Raheem Morris yet. So until we see that, we can't really say. But if I'm the Falcons, I'm conservative with it, because again, like we've talked about for years, the biggest thing with OTAs and minicamp, and the biggest thing with training camp, like, mission statement number one is not to have your guys hurt, because you need to get them to week one. Kirk Cousins has been in the league for 12 years. It's going to be year 13 for him. He knows what he's doing. So you just want to make sure he's at week one, healthy and ready to go, and you've got all the training camp for that.
For sure. I want to ask you a little bit about the how this all kind of maybe played out when negotiations began between Atlanta and Minnesota, because they're...
Why do you mention that? Because our Dan Graziano is reporting that the NFL is looking into tampering from the Falcons in relating to Kirk Cousins. As we are recording this around 12:30 on Thursday afternoon. That was something that actually that had been pointed out, maybe that had happened on Wednesday night after Cousins talked, because what Cousins had said was he had talked with team trainers on Tuesday. Seems like that might not be allowed. Cousins said that during his press conference, and now the NFL is looking into whether or not there was, potential tampering in a negotiation period. The rules are kind of all over the place a little bit there, too. So our Dan Graziano is reporting that they are looking into potential tampering by the Falcons into the signing of Kirk Cousins. That's all the information I have right now, other than that Kirk Cousins, you know, had said on Wednesday night that, and I'm going to pull the quote up to read it now, so that way I have it exactly right.
Sure. Is it because they were team officials? These were team trainers?
I'm not sure. I can't tell you that for sure.
Because there was the quote about Kyle Pitts reaching out, but players are allowed to contact players, correct?
That is my understanding. That is my understanding. But again, right. I don't know exactly what's going on. This is, you know, breaking as we're obviously talking. Yeah. I was looking into it a little bit this morning. The quote from Cousins that I'll read here. It was a long quote, and he was talking about it came up in a question about kind of the staff and Raheem and connections and kind of fitting in the culture. And he started talking about his father-in-law and then kind of like the things he had done. And he was, and this was the end of this quote that he had talked about. And if you want to watch it on the press conference, it's probably around like between the 9 and 10 minute mark. Quote, and it's not just the football team. I mean, I'm looking at the support staff meeting, calling yesterday, our head of athletic trainer and talking to our head of PR. I'm thinking we got good people here, and that's exciting to be a part of. So that was his quote there, that he had said on Tuesday night or Wednesday night rather. And by saying yesterday, it would seem to believe, you know, that's where it's coming from.
That
is what Kirk Cousins said on Wednesday.
Right. So what would be the issue? Because wouldn't that fall within that legal tampering period? Or is that, does that only allow a select few people to communicate with one another? Like the player cannot communicate with X team official during the tampering period, but they could communicate with the general manager. Like, why is there an issue here necessarily?
I can't really speak to that at this point.
Okay.
Sorry to be vague.
No. I'm just asking to make sure I'm trying to cover all bases. But if that's where the story is going to unfold and develop, then that's what we will monitor and see what comes out. You know, I want to talk a little bit about the negotiations when it did go down with Minnesota. Once the league year happened and everything started, all the speculations and stuff came up on Twitter, and it was like Atlanta is in this. It's down between Minnesota and Atlanta. Based on Kirk's quotes that you included in your piece on ESPN, it seems like when he said Minnesota was a little bit more year to year. Do you believe that the 2 years with the guaranteed money, 45 in each year, do you think that swung it? Or was it more the 4 years overall with kind of that third year as a soft option? Which part do you think really sold Kirk?
I mean, he didn't
Did you get a sense?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, no, it makes sense. He didn't really indicate, but he definitely made it sound like Minnesota was, quote, somewhat year to year. From here on out, and it sounded like he just wanted some level of more stability, more guarantee, you know. And that to me is where I think it comes into, whether it was the length of the deal or whether it was whether it was the length of the deal or it was the money. Both of those things seem to match up.
Yeah, I mean the money makes a lot of sense. That would be very enticing. It was kind of funny when he was starting out talking about the selling factors and just obviously Atlanta and seeing the young talent. I was like, well, also, you know, 100 million guaranteed doesn't hurt. So that makes a lot of sense there as well. But from the Falcons standpoint, it makes a lot of sense, right? We talked about this offline about just for the Falcons, this was about minimizing that variable, that X for the quarterback position. And the range of potential outcomes. Kirk Cousins certainly raises the floor of what the quarterback will bring you if he plays anywhere near what he was playing like before he got injured in 2023. So you suddenly raise what that position is doing game in and game out. But I want to get your thoughts on my belief right now is that the ceiling for the Falcons won't necessarily be defined by Kirk Cousins so much as it will be defined by the young players around Kirk Cousins, who, if we believe there was the quarterback play was kind of holding the team back, maybe he was that position was also capping what Bijan Robinson was capable of doing with Drake London and what Kyle Pitts. And so if Kirk Cousins raises kind of that play at quarterback, it should allow them to truly hit what they are capable of or get as close as possible. So is that the sense you think for Atlanta in 2024 is that Kirk's going to get them, you know, really right there consistently, but Drake London and Kyle Pitts, they're going to be what takes Atlanta's offense at least kind of over the top.
Sure. I mean, but again, it goes back to who's getting the ball. That was the issue last year. I mean, it goes back to who's getting the ball, because if it was just a Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Bijan Robinson, Tyler Allgeier, because don't forget about him, scenario, well, then they would have been better last year. It comes down to who's getting them the ball. And because if Kirk Cousins can't get them the ball efficiently, it's the same story, different quarterback, different coach, different season.
Sure.
So it all comes to that.
What I'm saying is that so Kirk is going to get them the ball more consistently, right? That is the raising of the floor. He's going to get it to him on time. He's going to be able to execute the play action fakes more consistently with, you know, probably better results on the outcome. So if you're getting the ball in the hands of Drake London on time, Kyle Pitts on time, now that's where I'm saying the responsibility almost transfers to them because they are consistently being put in positions to succeed, whereas before they weren't necessarily. They were maybe making the most of a bad situation. That's where I think you now start needing to see more from them than maybe we have seen previously on a more consistent basis.
Yeah, I mean, I know it is, and that's part of it too, though, but it's the accuracy, it's the route running, it's the routes, it's the plays, it's the offensive scheme, it's all of it. Like, all of it fits into whether or not this is going to work or not, you know, but it all started back at the quarterback. I mean, you heard it when Arthur Blank, they had their news conference on January 8th, right? And they talked about the quarterback play being deficient and all of that. Like, it all starts there, and that was the whole it was pretty clear that was the focus of their offseason, was to fix the quarterback issue because they believe they're a quarterback away offensively. Well, now they have that. But it's also on, you know, it is on somewhat the development of Pitts, of Bijan Robinson, of Drake London in their second, third, of Tyler Allgeier in their second, third, fourth seasons to take the necessary steps. In Pitts' case, you know, he was hampered by injury through most of last season. You know, let me rephrase that. Injury recovery, which you told me about in January, you know, which I'd written about in January, that his big thing was just getting through every game healthy. So, yeah, right. Figure that if he's healthy now, he's take a step forward. Drake London showed a lot, even if the numbers weren't much better, he showed a lot of improvement. And again, this is also going to be the best quarterback that Bijan Robinson, Tyler Allgeier, Drake London has played with. And you can maybe even argue Kyle Pitts, because by the time he was playing with Matt Ryan, it wasn't MVP level Matt Ryan anymore. And the offense around them, remember, because Calvin Ridley left the team to deal with some mental health stuff midseason. Yeah, Olamide Zaccheaus and Russell Gage, who were your other options, and Russell Gage was hurt. So at one point it was like,
they were both in and out.
It was OZ, and it was Kyle Pitts, and it was Cordarrelle Patterson. And remember, they had a plan for Cordarrelle Patterson. They had to change because they planned on Mike Davis being a good, you know, kind of their lead guy, and that did not work. So this is the best offensive kind of grouping that the Falcons have had in a while when you consider quarterback and then the skill guys that are playing around him as well.
Let's talk about one of those skill guys, Darnell Mooney, who, you know, the Falcons add to this group. So Drake London, we also saw the news today, Kadarrelle Hodge coming back. But, you know, what do you think Darnell Mooney, the vision for that is? Is he coming in? It certainly looked like it would be wide receiver to money. I know a lot of people believe that they could look at a wide receiver in the draft, and this class seems as talented as any that has come out recently and deep. So do you expect that Darnell Mooney, do they envision that kind of number two, move him around, you can play inside and out type of receiver? Is that kind of the role that you think he's coming in here to play?
I mean, it's tough to say. It's tough to say, honestly, because we don't know yet whether they're going to bring in a rookie, whether they look at Mooney as an outside guy or a slot at 5'11". But we do know that, I mean, the Rams ran a lot of 11 personnel, and you know, maybe he takes that kind of Brandon Powell, Tutu Atwell role that's been in that Rams offense for a while. Mooney, we know he can. We know he's got speed. We know he's a deep guy. So that's entirely possible, but I would not say that this takes receiver off the table at 8 or in the second round. It shouldn't, because you're, again, going before they re-signed Kadarrelle Hodge here earlier on Thursday, the only guy that was a receiver that caught passes, that caught a pass last season, was Drake London on the Falcons. I mean, because Matt Collins, Scotty Miller, Kadarrelle Hodge, Van Jefferson, all free agents. Obviously, Kadarrelle coming back. Matt Collins is in Buffalo. You know, Scotty Miller and Van Jefferson are still out there. But you knew this room was going to get made over. And that's kind of what you're looking at.
How should we view Kyle Pitts in all of this? When we're looking at the wide receiver room, should Kyle Pitts have a foot in there? Should he have both feet in there? I mean,
where,
when we're looking at how... Yeah, how, because they do run so much 11 personnel, but you could look at Kyle Pitts at times being really that hybrid receiver, you know, wide receiver type of player. It, you know, should we, when we're looking at, all right, now they have Drake London, Darnell Mooney, Kyle Pitts, is that like, cool, we're running 11 personnel, now we can get Charlie Warner out on the field in there as our blocking tight end, so you've got a little bit of numbers in the run game while still, like, that's where my head is with all of this. Where do you think Kyle Pitts factors in when we're talking about this offensive kind of design and the wide receiver group?
I mean, it's possible. Again, I go back to what Zach Robinson said when I had asked them about that, because remember, Kyle Pitts has the fifth-year option in May, and right now he's classified as a tight end, but he could, based off of numbers, he was outside of, you know, he was playing the slot really more than he was a tight end, and even playing a little bit more outside last year than he was a tight end. But when you look at it, it's going to depend on how they want to use him and how they view him. But I go back to what Zach Robinson said right after he was hired, which I asked that question about him and about Bijan Robinson. And he basically said they viewed Kyle Pitts as a tight end. Now, they have about 8 to 9 million reasons to say that, because that's the difference in the fifth-year option money.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I think it will remain to be seen. And we'll get a real sense of what that looks like, I think, by what they do in free agency in the draft and how much they bring in that receiver room and how many more tight ends they bring back. Bring in, right? Like, they signed Charlie Warner, who's definitely more of a blocking tight end. You know, I mean, I look at, you know, Kyle Pitts, I go back to the back in 2022 before he got hurt. Kyle Pitts was really proud of that blocking and really proud of being improved as a blocker. And that was something that really mattered to him. Now we'll see what that looks like going forward. As he's playing in now his second offense for a second head coach.
Yeah, he definitely was playing more of that traditional Y tight end in line in 2022. But yeah, it's kind of that Charlie Warner factor. I guess I'm still thinking in an old way with the Arthur Smith of that, like, creativity in the numbers, where you could, again, be in 11 personnel, where Kyle Pitts is... Yeah, he's a tight end, but he's... So I guess it wouldn't be typically 11 personnel. So that's what I guess I'm saying, is that it's a big 11 for all intents and purposes, because you still have Charlie Warner in there as your tight end, but Kyle Pitts as one of your receivers. And then you could, if you wanted to, bump him down as your traditional tight end and bring on an extra receiver and kind of go jumbo, small ball type of deal there. But let's wrap it up here with a look forward at what the Falcons could do next. Now that they've got the quarterback position handled, and yeah, it was the right move, I think, to do this first. Everything stems from here. What you're going to build around it, you want to make sure that it fits what you're doing at the quarterback position as well. So do you expect them to kind of live in that mid to lower tier of free agency from here on out? Or do you think that we could see one or two, you know, bigger names added to this group? Kind of where do you think they go from here in free agency?
It'll depend who's out there. You know, I don't think they're going to go after guys just to go after guys to go after names. I mean, we haven't seen that really in Terry Fontenot's tenure, in Kyle Smith's tenure. So,
speaking of receiver, what about somebody like KJ Osborne?
Sure.
Right.
I mean, again,
Vikings receiver.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, to me, a guy like Brandon Powell, who has re-signed with Minnesota, would have made a lot of sense, because he has experience with Raheem Morris. He's got experience with Seth Robinson in the Rams offense. Obviously, he has experience with Kirk Cousins. You want to always look at familiarity in a lot of ways.
Yep.
So yeah, a guy like KJ Osborne could make a bunch of sense. I apologize.
You're good.
KJ Osborne could make a lot of sense. There's other guys out there that might make a lot of sense too, that we're not thinking of, because there are a bunch of receivers out there. But again, it might also be a situation where they're like, you know what? They want to go in the draft and find somebody else. But other than that, I mean, you look at the positions that still they have needs at: edge rusher and corner. which has been in my 3 years covering the Falcons. I feel like rinse, wash, repeat the conversation. Edge rusher and corner has been every offseason. What are they going to do there? It remains to be seen. Now, you know, some of the bigger name edge rushers are no longer out there, but I don't know if you were going to pay those edge rushers at that price point, especially if maybe you're looking to get an edge rusher early in the draft, right? And kind of go that way. Because remember, this is a team that hasn't taken a defensive player in the first round in a while. So maybe they're looking, and Raheem Morris is a defensive-minded head coach, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe they're looking that way. You know, corner to me is a place that I could see them still being very active in free agency and bringing in somebody who at least compete with Clark Phillips for that spot, if not to take that spot. That to me is something that, matters and kind of seeing what that might look like.
Yeah, I agree. I do think defense, like that second corner spot, you can probably find one of these mid-tier veterans to come in here on a 1, maybe 2 year deal if you really like somebody who's got experience playing in this scheme, can help be a voice in the room. That makes sense for a free agency ad. If you're looking at what they need off the edge, yeah, you can always use depth. I think last year was a great example of how depth can also be an asset. When you're talking about the ability to generate pressure, it doesn't just have to be from these like big name household 1A Khalil Mack guys. You can make it work if you have enough of professional veteran pass rushers who just know how to get the job done. But I think the Falcons could stand to add a little bit of both. I think they could improve with one more veteran rotational piece guy, but they could also certainly add, you know, one guy who offensive coordinators need to know where he is on every single snap. Now, that's a lot to ask of a rookie in year one, but you could hopefully set yourself up to get that early on with one of the big names in the draft. I do think the draft is setting up very nicely value-wise. Mike, thanks again, man.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode, which as always was presented by Bet Online. Thank you again to Mike Rothstein. We'll be back next week, going to try to line up another conversation, if not two, on Kirk Cousins free agency. Of course, if there is any major news, could be back with a rapid reaction podcast. But until then, everybody, take care.